Hi, I'm Mark Budd.
And I'm Jair Briggs Davis.
And we're from Mark and Jair Explain Sports.
This is a Tripod production.
The following is a Tripod production. Do not attempt to adjust your dial.
Mark Budd and Jair Briggs Davis, two friends growing up in the Big Apple, two friends who became sports writers at the top of their craft. Mark, the assistant sports editor at Drexel University's The Triangle. Jair, the color commentator and reporter at Curry College. On their own, they give their own unique insights. However, together, Mark and Jair explain sports.
All right. Welcome to episode 3. How's it going, Jair?
It's going all right, Mark. Very rainy day here in New York City, as you know.
Yeah, man. Like, been getting tornado warnings today. It's crazy. I don't think I've ever seen a tornado warning here in quite a long time, especially with everything that's going on. I feel like things just keep getting worse.
Well, Mark, a few minutes ago, it was hailing over here on my side. But, you know, it seems to be lightening up a little bit. Other than that, you know, with everything that's going on, it feels, you know, it feels like I'm a little bit stuck right now. But anyways, though, what else is going on, Mark? How's your week going?
It's going okay. You know, I'm just trying to stay busy, do activities to keep me focused and not just sitting doing nothing, which I feel like a lot of people are doing because you can't go out, you can't go anywhere. So it's hard to figure out how to stay productive, but, you know, been reading books, working out. What have you been doing to stay productive, Jair?
Well, I've been playing a lot of MLB, a lot of 2K, a lot of NHL on my PS4. Along with that, I've been in contact with a lot of people, talking to them about the Michael Jordan documentary. You know, staying doing my homework, and but most importantly, you know, let's get into this week, because, you know, that Michael Jordan documentary, though.
Yeah, so it was great that finally came on. So all sports fans were just desperate for something to watch and talk about, and it finally came, which is the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, and debuted this past Sunday. There was 2 episodes. The only thing that I complained about it is I'm very thankful for DVR recording, because I don't want to wait on all the commercials. So I waited an hour after it started to watch, and then I could just go through all the commercials. But I know you started right on time. You had to wait on those commercials. What was that like for you?
I mean, I was sitting down, Mark, and every single time I went into a commercial, I was like, oh!
Yeah, I feel like when commercials come on, it just like throws you off. Like, you're into it, you're really invested, and then all of a sudden a commercial comes on. What the heck?
The thing about me with commercials is, because every single time a commercial came on, I was like, oh man, like, you know, I just want, like, because, like, the documentaries, like, they go on for an hour, but, like, there's commercials in there. It's just like, I want it to be just so filled with just so much behind the scenes stuff, so much action, that the commercials to me were just like, I was just like, damn, like these are like minutes that are like, you know, that are just running out. Like, I just want them to get through like this beginning like part, and like we can get into like more of the juicy stuff and like the behind the scenes detail.
Getting into the documentary, I thought that the beginning part was awesome, just showing like the back of Michael Jordan, and you're like, oh, okay, this is gonna be like the real deal, like behind the scenes. And throughout the first 2 episodes, like him interacting with Jerry Krause and just like kind of making fun of him, I thought that was really cool that they were able to get the behind the scenes. It makes the documentary a lot more interesting to see how they actually act, and like to see what actually was going on makes the documentary really stand out compared to other documentaries in the past. Like, I know that they said the Warriors, they were asked if they wanted to record them, and they said no. I don't know why you wouldn't want to, because like, for the fans, it's so cool.
Well, I mean, the Warriors is dynasty, or like, we'll put it in quotes, dynasty. I mean, I'm sure that a lot of Bay Area fans would have wanted to see the behind the scenes footage. I mean, like, even the Yankee fans that were there watching them in 96 and 98 through 2000, that they had like some more behind the scenes stuff, I'm sure that they would have been glued to their televisions. But also just watching, like, I knew for a long time, like, you know, Jerry Krause was disliked, and Jerry Reinsdorf was the owner, and Jerry Krause and Michael Jordan had their differences, Jerry Krause and Phil Jackson, Jerry Krause and Scottie Pippen. But it's just like, and like, you know, also hearing about how Michael Jordan was brutal on teammates, and just, you know, watching like Michael Jordan berate Jerry Krause just in front of anyone. Like, he, like, when he said to, I believe it was in France. It was that whole entire, are those your hype pills or are those your, or are those the diet pills?
Yeah, and then he started going at him. He's like, yeah, Jerry, let me post you up. Let's see you come play basketball. And just like roasting him. And what really pissed Michael Jordan off was when Jerry Krause said, yeah, well, the organization wins, not the team. It's not just the team. And
I mean, Mark, let me ask you this. Do you agree with what Michael Jordan said?
Absolutely. I know in his Hall of Fame speech, he, one of the things he started off with is, I see Jerry Krause is in the crowd. I know I didn't invite him. And he said that he went right back to saying about Jerry Krause's comment about organizations win. And he just like grilled him.
Well, I agree with Michael.
Me too.
I agree with Michael on it. I can understand where Jerry Krause feels like, you know, I deserve a little bit of some more credit because, well, first off, well, Jerry Krause, he did not draft Michael Jordan. Let's put that one out there. Jerry Krause did not draft Michael Jordan. He did draft Scottie Pippen.
I thought he did draft Michael Jordan, no?
Rod Thorne drafted Michael Jordan.
Right.
Rod Thorne drafted Michael Jordan.
I gotta give Jerry Krause credit for, like, he put together the whole team after that.
I mean, like, we do have to give Jerry Krause some credit. You know, Michael Jordan, you know, I understand what it's like trading away. Like, I can understand being angry at ownership for trading away, you know, your boy, like, your guy. Like, the way of how the Bulls traded away Charles Oakley for Bill Cartwright. And, I mean, I can understand where Michael Jordan is coming from in that aspect.
But
in
my opinion, Jerry Krause found Scottie Pippen, which was a really good find. Trade for him.
And he got Horace Grant in that same draft as Scottie Pippen.
Kind of felt like when the Bulls traded for Jerry Krause, kind of seemed like when the Knicks drafted Porzingis. Everyone's like, who is that guy? Who the heck?
Wait. When the Bulls drafted Jerry Krause, Scottie Pippen?
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's kind of like when they drafted, the Knicks drafted Porzingis, because everyone was like, who is that guy? Where did he come from? Like, Scottie Pippen came out of nowhere from a college in Arkansas, and then fans were quick to criticize it, but then look how it turned out. So it shows a lot, like, how much work you have to put in as a general manager. You have to take risks drafting guys that everyone not going to like at first, but in the long term, that's what you want to think about. And he clearly thought about that, and it worked.
For anyone that's watching, you know that this is going to go into Scottie Pippen, obviously, but hold on one second here, Mark. Did you think that Jerry Krause had any right at all to break up the Bulls after the 97 season, even like going into 98 or even after the 98 season?
No, I think what happened was he won a lot of championships. Well, the team won a lot of championships, and he felt, well, look, I put together this team. We won a lot of championships. Clearly, I'm good at my job. I don't need to rely on anybody else. I'm going to build my own team and win again. He obviously wasn't happy with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't like him either. He had a problem with Phil Jackson, even though he brought in Phil Jackson, which didn't make sense to me when he was like, oh, you have 1 year left no matter what. And that goes on the owner. This is a lot of his fault. He gave Jerry Krause too much power and let him do this nonsense type statement saying, yeah, he's Phil Jackson. Even if we win 82 games, he's not coming back. How could you say that when the guy won 5 championships? But getting into Scottie Pippen, I know what your take is on it. I agree with Scottie Pippen that his contract should have been changed, but at the same time, he agreed to a 7-year contract, and the owner told him not to do it. But as they went on, and the years got later, they kept winning, and clearly he was one of the best players in the NBA. And I honestly had no idea that he was so underpaid. Did you know that before this?
I knew for a while that Scottie Pippen had his differences with Krause, and I knew that he wanted a new contract, but I didn't know that he specifically signed like $18 million for 7 years.
Crazy.
I've looked up 90s Bulls and like they're like old, like older documentaries from many years ago of guys just talking, and I never really got like I understood sort of like some of what was going on, but I never got like the full picture. I didn't know about the 7 years, $18 million.
A hot take that I'm going to say that I don't know what's been mentioned. I think some of it falls on Michael Jordan because while he was getting paid $33 million, right? He was a big enough star that he could have said, look, guys, you guys need to pay Scottie Pippen. And it didn't seem like he was really advocating for that. I feel like if he really like wanted Scottie Pippen to be happy, he could have chimed in and told them, look, you need to figure it out and pay this guy. Like, he's helped me out. Because in the beginning he said, I couldn't have done this without Scottie Pippen. Well, that's the case. So you should have backed that statement up and helped him out. Because Michael Jordan had a really powerful voice back then.
I think, well, Mark, my take on Scottie Pippen is like,
do you agree with that, though?
I mean, I do agree with that. I've heard that from other people also, that Michael Jordan should have had more of a voice about it. But going back to when Scottie Pippen signed the contract, well, you know, you said before about taking risks. I mean, Scottie Pippen, I understand in his case, like, he wanted to make sure and double check that his parents were and his family were good after hearing about the health issues that the two of them had. Like, I believe it was his brother and his father. And I mean, I'm sorry to see that, but like, well, I'm sorry that it happened to anyone and Scottie Pippen and their family. But I understand where Scottie Pippen, why Scottie Pippen signed that contract. But, you know, I'm thinking like Matt, like, you know, that's 91. They won 3 titles. I mean, in today's NBA, you know, if Scott, like, you know, they, like, you, I would estimate that Scottie Pippen, he could have been paid like if it was today's NBA, Scottie Pippen, he would have been paid like maybe $23 million at least, like per season.
For today's NBA, he'd be getting like at least $32 million a year. Like, guys like Chris Middleton are getting max contracts. Okay.
That's that, but Mark, hold on. In 1994, Scottie Pippen, the 93-94 season, Scottie Pippen he finished 3rd in the MVP race, I believe, and he finished right behind David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon. I feel like
The year that Michael Jordan left, Scottie Pippen went off. The years Jordan played baseball, Scottie Pippen was the leader, and they were still competitive in the playoffs. So yeah, so you're right about that.
But Mark, I believe that I understand Scottie's frustration, but I believe, and like, the Bulls did not have to do this, but it's just like, if I was Reinsdorf or Krause, and if I could have done it, I would have said, you know what, Scottie, like, you know, I know that you're upset and you're underpaid, and I mean, you just had 3 magnificent seasons in a row, and you know, it looks like it's going to go up from here. You know, honestly, like, let's just try to find a way that we can renegotiate a new contract for you, especially, and I'm talking about, this is the time when Jordan is retired playing baseball. That's what I feel like Reinsdorf should have done. If he could have done it, I think that he should have done it, because Scottie Pippen, he finished 3rd in the MVP race in 94, and I think in 95 he finished 7th. So he was top 10. That's my opinion.
Another thing that backs up Scottie Pippen is Tony Kukoc, when he signed his rookie contract, the Bulls allowed him to negotiate a new deal after he didn't like it. So the fact that they let him do that and he wasn't even as good of a player kind of is questionable.
He was the sixth man.
No, I know, but yeah, they let him renegotiate, which is like ridiculous that they'll allow him, but not Scottie Pippen. But also,
also Jerry Krause, he had a major thing for Tony Kukoc, and back in the Dream Team documentary, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, they detailed that. But go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
But I am going to criticize Scottie Pippen for the way he acted towards the end. I don't agree how he was, like, cursing out Jerry. Yes, Jerry Krause was not treating him right, but that shouldn't mean that you curse him out on the bus, make everyone else uncomfortable, and then all of a sudden he doesn't get surgery right away, because that's only affecting him. If you decide not to get surgery, while it was a savage move and I thought it was pretty ballsy, that's only affecting you. Like, I'm not going to get surgery because I'm going to criticize the team. Well, you're not playing either. So your stats, you're not going to be able to showcase your skill if you want a new contract. The other teams aren't going to be able to see if you're playing better. And also, he could have handled the situation a lot better, I think. He could have said, yes, I'm not happy with the way, but I'm going to play through this. And hopefully next year I get a new contract or I'm moving on.
Well,
cursing out the general manager isn't going to help anything. It's just going to make him more pissed off.
Well, I mean, cursing out the general manager is going to make, well, I mean, Jerry Krause, I feel, I think somewhere deep down at heart in like the 97-98 season or whenever Scottie Pippen criticized Jerry Krause and berated him in public, I'm sure that Jerry Krause had a thought somewhere, and he said, man, I don't even care about winning a championship anymore. Shoot, I'll trade Scottie Pippen right now, and like if Michael is not happy, he's not happy. I don't care. I'm sure that Jerry Krause had the thought somewhere in his head.
But I think at the end of the day, all of this situation falls under Jerry Reinsdorf, because he's giving Krause too much power. He kind of let the situation get out of hand, and why wouldn't, like, I felt like, yes, the fact that they weren't even going to have the whole team together the last year the documentary was filmed, the 1997-98 season, is ridiculous. Like, why would you not want to keep winning until, like, after that season? I know they all broke up, which is crazy to me that they all broke up. I think they should have kept going for as long as they kept winning, which they probably would have kept winning, because Michael Jordan was so good. And Scottie Pippen was still good. So I don't know why. Yeah, if it's not broken, don't.
You know, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. But talking about Jerry Krause, do you believe that people around an organization deserve more credit when it comes to winning championships, or do you think that they already get credit? Because I know he won, like, Executive of the Year, so clearly he's getting credit. And I'm sure his salary was higher than Scottie Pippen's.
I see from a small perspective of what Jerry Krause was saying, because we all do want vindication. I do understand a small part of what Jerry Krause is saying, but as Michael Jordan did say, you know, it's the players on the court, and you can't forget that. You know, the NBA has changed, and also you got to think, like, the game has evolved so much for decades now. Like, the truth is that, you know, also back in the 90s, like, Jordan was a popular brand, and like Pippen and like Scottie Pippen, he was Jordan's Rodman. I agree with Michael Jordan. Mostly, I see a small part of what Jerry Krause said, but I do agree mostly with Michael Jordan.
So, yeah, so I'm excited for next week's episode, because they're going to talk about the battles with the Pistons, and they're definitely...
Dennis Rodman comes to the Bulls?
Yeah, and they're going to get into the Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan beef. Well, they should, if they're going to talk about that.
Also, it's going to be very interesting to see Isaiah Thomas on there, because he retired in 94, I believe. And also, don't forget the fact that he's actually from Chicago, too.
Yeah, he is. But if you notice, in this past documentary, Isaiah Thomas gave Michael Jordan very nice compliments.
Well, I'm sure they
maybe hash things out a little bit, so for him to say that.
I'm sure they did.
But I'm very excited for a documentary next week. But what's coming this coming Thursday, we have the NFL draft. So I want to get into that a little bit. What are you excited for, Jair, for the NFL draft?
I'm excited for everything, Mark. It's gonna be interesting to see how everything is gonna take shape, and especially with the COVID-19 issues going on around the country. You know, how does everything get handled?
I'm really interested to see what happens with Tua, because there's a lot of talk of people are taking him off their draft boards. They're worried that his hip isn't going to be good for his whole career. He's too injury prone. I think the Dolphins are making a big mistake if they don't draft Tua. I think he's going to be I think he's the real deal. While Joe Burrow should be the first pick, Tua is the next guy, the quarterback that should be drafted. I don't think that the Dolphins should overthink this, but I would not be surprised if they don't draft him and draft Justin Herbert instead, which wouldn't be a good move. But it's the safe move, but it's not the right move, in my opinion.
What about the New York Giants? What do you think the New York Giants are looking for right now, Mark?
I know that they need a linebacker. Their defense is pretty messed up right now. But if a guy like Jerry Jeudy is available, wide receiver from Alabama, I would take him. I think they need like a dynamic player. They have Saquon Barkley, but if you get Jerry Jeudy, they won't miss Odell Beckham Jr. as much, and it will really help Daniel Jones in the offense, which is the quarterback's the most important position, so you want to help him out. So by getting a guy like Jerry Jeudy, it would help him out big time. And then you can focus the rest of the draft on defense.
Mark, have you ever considered being a general manager?
Yeah, well, I've done it in Madden. It's very interesting.
What's your outlook on your Philadelphia Eagles?
Philadelphia Eagles, we need to draft a wide receiver no matter what. If we don't draft a wide receiver in the first round, I'm turning off my TV and I'm not watching the rest of the draft. It would be unbelievable. It would be despicable if we don't draft a wide receiver. They need to draft a wide receiver.
What about Henry Ruggs III or Justin Jefferson?
Henry Ruggs III is going to be the next Tyreek Hill. He's awesome. But I don't think the Eagles are the 21st pick, so I don't think Henry Ruggs will be available. I really want Justin Jefferson. I think he's going to be awesome, and I think there's a good chance he'll be available.
How do you feel about your linebackers core?
We do need some more linebackers, but linebackers to me is not as important as wide receiver. Because Carson, again, the quarterback position is so important. They need to focus on getting him help. So getting a wide receiver is more important to me than getting a linebacker. Again, the Eagles have a lot of picks in this year's draft. They can also trade Alshon Jeffery and a draft pick to maybe get a player and a linebacker from another team who needs a wide receiver. So I'm not as worried about the linebacker position. But so moving on, let's talk about the elephant in the room, because I know we mentioned it last week. We need to do our Michael Jordan versus LeBron debate. And I know a lot of people know I'm a big LeBron guy, and I believe that he's the best player. But Jay, I know you like Michael Jordan, so I want to hear your thoughts on why you think Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time.
Well, Mark, I put Michael in front of LeBron. Both are fantastic players, but I respect Michael Jordan's will to be successful. Also, there's a lot more. Hold on.
Let's hear it.
Michael Jordan has scored over 3,000 points in a season while being a defensive juggernaut, not to mention that he played in what most would call a tougher era.
I completely disagree, but keep going.
Michael Jordan, he brought out the best. I feel like he mostly brought out the best of his teammates. Scottie Pippen. And I mean, like, Dennis Rodman didn't even need to, like really be coached for, like, much. Well, he didn't really need, like, Jordan's guidance for what his role on the team was. when LeBron got to Miami, like Dwayne Wade was Dwayne Wade, but Chris Bosh, I mean, well, he slightly like dropped down a little bit, but obviously, like, you know, he was like the third guy. Kevin Love on the Cavaliers, he was the third guy. He still made All-Star teams and everything.
That's
and right. I'm personally putting LeBron, like, Jordan over LeBron because of finals records.
All right.
LeBron choked in 2011. And Michael Jordan never had a meltdown. Never in the NBA finals.
Is that it?
Well, what's your opinion, Mark?
All right. Well, so LeBron, yes, he had that really awful 2011 NBA Finals, but that was one of the first years he was back in the mix. That was his first year back in the finals since he was with the Cavs. It was his first final series with the Heat. So there was a lot of pressure on him. And yes, maybe he choked, but after that, he did not choke. After that, he won two championships with the Heat. Yes, he had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. But let me add that Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen his whole career. Michael Jordan also did not win an NBA title for his first 7 years. So he struggled to make it to the finals too. People don't talk about that. LeBron also carried teams without two superstars to the finals. In 2018, he had guys like George Hill as one of his top options. Yes, he had Kevin Love. That was about it. And LeBron was still able to take them to the finals, beating teams like the Bucks and the Raptors, who the Raptors went on to win the championship a few years later. So he beat a championship caliber full team with a lot of talent. And you said that Michael Jordan played in a tougher conference. Yes, the game was more physical back then, but the talent now is much better than when Michael Jordan played, especially with guys who LeBron's going against. He went against the Warriors 4 years in a row, I believe it was, with against guys like Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. Michael Jordan didn't have to go against teams like that. LeBron James also was the leader of the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. He's down 3-1, and he and Kyrie together led the Cavs to win. LeBron is also first in win shares, which is 12 points higher than Michael Jordan. So when he's on the floor, how his team's doing, LeBron made more of an impact than Michael Jordan did, helped win games. LeBron is also first in plus minus, and LeBron is first in value over replacement. So it's how you play compared to an average player. LeBron was playing that much better than Jordan was. He was 33.1 value over replacement, and Michael Jordan was 22.85. And yes, Michael Jordan has 6 rings. LeBron only has 3. LeBron went to 8 finals, which is unheard of. The only other teams to do that was the Boston Celtics, who were stacked and won 11 championships with guys like Bill Russell. Again, the competition wasn't as good as it is now. So the fact that LeBron was able to do that is unbelievable. LeBron is also first in points scored. He's third in points scored all time. He's not even done yet, and he passed Michael Jordan in that. So in almost every statistical category, LeBron's stats are better than Michael Jordan's.
Well, Mark, honestly, I can't really hold 2018 against LeBron James because that was one big mess.
But yeah, I see why people say Michael Jordan's better. 6 rings. He's a dump. Yeah, I will admit he's a better scorer than LeBron was, but I think LeBron has a better overall impact on the game than Michael Jordan did. He does everything else better besides scoring the ball. Michael Jordan was definitely not as good of a passer as LeBron is. And you mentioned that LeBron has a physical advantage over Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he's 6'8", and he's a truck.
That's why I think LeBron's the best. We haven't seen a guy like that. Like his body, like, yes, Giannis is kind of like that with his body, but he's not as skilled as LeBron, in my opinion.
No. Giannis is getting better.
But I don't think the debate will ever be over about who's better, LeBron or Michael Jordan, unless LeBron wins more titles the rest of his career than Jordan does, which will be hard to do because LeBron's getting old now, but he still has a chance to win two more, I think. But once he passes the all-time scoring list, it's going to make the debate closer between LeBron and Michael Jordan.
Let me ask you something. Would you ever say that LeBron James has tried to stack the deck sort of ever in his career?
What do you mean, like push the stats up?
No, stack the deck as in just like add more and more personnel, more than Jordan ever did.
Yeah, I also think that's where LeBron is better than Jordan off the court. I think LeBron, the way he can talk to himself is first class. While Jordan is too, I think Jordan, I don't think he cared as much about what people thought about him as LeBron did. So yes, I do think LeBron does that, but he does a great job of it. And I think it makes him a very likable person.
What do you have to say about LeBron's will to win more than, well, over Michael Jordan?
It might seem that LeBron isn't as intense because he is a little, he smiles more. He seems a little happier. Jordan kind of has that Kobe mentality, mom mentality, where it's just like no messing around, like super intense, doesn't care what it takes to win. I'll give you that. Michael Jordan does seem to have a bit of an edge on that. But as LeBron's gotten older, he's seemed to get more intense. Like, I know there were times this year when he would, like, take the Lakers in the huddle and start, like, yelling at all of them. I feel like you'd be surprised about LeBron's mentality. If they had a documentary about LeBron like they did with Jordan, I feel like you'd kind of get the same vibe that you're getting from Jordan.
Mark, let me ask you another question. You talk about win shares. Do the win shares that you saw on Michael Jordan compared to LeBron, does that include – well, Let's talk about Chicago Bulls Michael Jordan, not like Washington Wizards Michael Jordan. Chicago Bulls Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Did those win years include the Washington Wizards era of Michael Jordan?
Yeah. No? It's your whole career, but most of his career is with the Bulls though.
But I mean, like we're like so are we, so when is LeBron Jordan debate topic?
Can't include
in terms of we're including Washington.
Yeah, of course it is. It's their whole career, but you can't not include that. It's part of his career.
Well, I mean, in that case, then hey, look, how much was the difference, Mark?
In win shares,
yeah.
It was 11 points higher. So Jordan was number two, like, in all these. So it's, like, very close. But, Jair, it's definitely close who's better. I don't think anyone will ever be able to fully say who's better. There's always going to be one person liking LeBron, one person liking Jordan. It's going to be a never-ending debate for a long time, especially if LeBron keeps stacking the numbers up, getting closer to Jordan with championships. Becoming first in points scored, it's going to make the debate even more intense.
But here's another good one.
We could go on and on all day. So, Jair, I'm going to hear your closing thoughts.
My closing thoughts, well, I'm going to end it on this. What if Jordan did stay in the league for two full seasons?
But he didn't. That's also why'd he leave? Like, I don't understand that.
There's a lot of speculation to the reasons of why he left.
We could get into that next week. But this was, I feel this debate could go on all day. So.
Absolutely.
But I'm very excited for this week's upcoming documentary. I'm really excited to see what they're going to say about Dennis Rodman. I know they're going to feature him because they're going to talk about the Pistons, him coming to the Bulls. As I said last week, I'm really excited to hear about Dennis Rodman because his personality is very funny and he's an interesting guy. So hopefully they get like the way they went into Scottie Pippen's background. I hope they do that for Dennis Rodman.
You know, it's gonna be interesting to see how Dennis Rodman managed to go on vacation for 48 hours in the middle of the season.
That is gonna be interesting. But
yeah.
This was a great debate, Jair. Looking forward to next week talking about the results in the draft. Hopefully the Eagles didn't do something stupid. Hopefully this new episode, I'm assuming it's going to be awesome, of the documentary. And I'd like to give a quick shout out to Tay on the Track for this beat.
Major shout out to Tiana Track.
Everyone loves the beat. But Jair, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I'm looking forward to talking to you next week, man.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you later.
To listen to more Tripod Productions, go to thetriangle.org/podcasts.